Now let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And let's join our hearts together. Let's read aloud, because faith comes by hearing. And the more we read it and the more we confess it and profess it, more light will come. Let's say aloud, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And what I was hooking up here with on the subject of grace is some of the things that the Spirit of God is revealing and unfolding to us. God is going to require some things, and he's been speaking to Redeeming Love Christian Center for 30 years or more, and giving us road signs as to what he's going to do here. And you heard through the prophetic words that were spoken on Sunday and Friday that God is about to do something greater here. And he's unfolding and revealing some things. I mean, through the years, Brother Copeland started in 1985 and said he would raise up a church like that church in Seoul, Korea. And he said, "I'll do that here if you let me." And then he began to say, "What are you doing in this small church?" And then in 1990, Dr. Price, at the time, began to share some things. And in the middle of his message, he began to talk about, "Well, you know, this is a nice place, but you ought to take some pictures and get a scrapbook, because you're not going to stay here." He said, "You can stay, but God won't be in it." And he said, "Because the people I'm sending won't be able to fit in this facility." And so that was in 1990, 5 years after we moved in here. And of course, everybody went, "Oh my goodness." You know, but God already had a plan. And he already began to unfold and reveal a facility and a place right next to this place, which is in a mall. And he's already begun to reveal, because all I did was just begin, and I know Pastor Greg, we began to just thank God for that property. And recently, in July, he said to me, "The first building that you're going to take is the Sears building." He didn't say the only building. He said the first, because it's not going to be big enough. And that building has 168,000 square feet. This building has about 100,000 square feet. So it's double, and that building won't be big enough, because there's going to be people coming from all over the world that are going to come to see this great glory that's being manifested. And so we need to be prepared and ready and grow in grace so that we can step in our place and operate. And so I'm excited about that. And it's caused me to explore the scriptures a little more. And I think one of the things that I believe Pastor shared this from a book that I could have this wrong, but I believe that Billy Graham mentioned this, that if you see something in the scriptures that is given a lot of attention and a lot of a space, then we need to give it more attention and more space and more time. And if you look at the subject of grace, it is intertwined and spoken of from the beginning to the end of the book. And so much attention is given to the subject of grace, so we should also. And one thing that we see from that is that we can grow in grace. So let's, as we're doing here, let's begin. I want to start with the book of Acts and look at a few scriptures and looking at Acts chapter 4. And it has caused me, I think through these lessons, you're going to begin to see that Acts chapter 4 and verse 32 and 33, how many have ever thought this? I won't be the only one to raise my hand, but how many have ever thought, God, you're favoring those people more than me? Anybody ever thought that? They've got more favor. They got more grace on their life. They have more ability. Let's look at it that way. More anointing. And I sure want that. Anybody ever thought that? Am I the only one that maybe thought that? Okay. They got more grace, more favor, more anointing. God's specially favoring them. Anybody ever thought that? Okay. Well, he does. that's just the way it is. He does. Okay? But he does favor some more than others. And the scripture bears that out. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary, what did he say? O thou that art what? Highly favored. So did he favor someone above someone else? Yeah, he did. But she wasn't his only favorite. See? So we can grow in grace. We can grow in favor and the anointing of God. But I was thinking about this during the day. You still stay in Acts. Keep your finger there. And just for a moment, go over, I don't want to get sidetracked, but go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Just going to go over here to answer a question that somebody may have. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 11. So we're talking about, you know, God may favor or anoint or appoint or grace some more than others. 11, it says, and he did what? He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So you can see here that God does, he is just in appointing some as apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth. And so with that office, he may do what? Grace them more. And he's just in doing that. So some are graced or anointed more than others. But we can, individually, we can grow in grace so that we can be more effective where God has placed us. And that's what we're desiring as God begins to expand this ministry. And also, we can look for more grace and ability in our own personal lives, in our families, in our homes, how we deal with our husbands and wives, with our work people on our job. We can be graced and grow in grace to be more effective. Anybody ever, again, I don't want to be the only one to raise my hands here. And I know there's got to be at least one other person in here. Anybody do something and just feel like you're struggling through it, you're bumbling through it, you're like, man, I'm 10 fingers and I'm struggling to do this task. Anybody ever feel like that? But then let me ask another question. Have there been other times where you just, it's like you're in a boat. You're just flowing through this and it's so easy. Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. God's grace. God's grace. Because if you think it was you, that's the first problem. See? So there's sometimes that we may operate in a level of grace in an area, and you begin to know, man, that was easy. That was so easy. And then there's sometimes you're looking like, you know how Brother Hagin says, like a dog at a new pan. You're looking at it going, how are we going to do this? I'm blank. I don't know. But you see there, again, when you get in those kind of situations, what helps you through that? The grace of God. His anointing, His ability helps you to see how to do it. You can just look at it and go, I know what to do. And you didn't struggle. You didn't burn the midnight oil. You weren't, you know, wringing your hands and calling your friend like, how are we going to do this? You just saw it. You see it. That's the grace of God. That's His anointing and His ability that's resting upon you to just see it. Just see it. You can see it. And we've been there. Every one of us. And there's some, I mean, I've seen it. Have anybody who's seen your parents operate that way? They can see something. And you're like, how'd they know that? How'd they do that? Grace. That's the grace of God that allowed them and afforded them the ability to operate in that role as a mother or father. So, anyways, let's go back to Acts chapter 4. And you know the story here. And again, let's start reading in verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And then verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were what? Were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what? Great grace was upon just the apostles. It says on them all. So great grace rested upon them all, not just the apostles. So you can see here that after they prayed, they asked God for what? For boldness, that they may speak thy word, and by stretching forth thy hands to heal. Would that be grace? Absolutely. That would be great grace that rested upon them to operate with great boldness, and that signs and wonders may follow. And what happened? Great grace was upon them all, and also great power. With great power, the apostles gave witness of the resurrection. And I like the New Living Translation. It says, "And God's great." It says, "And the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great favor was upon them all." His great favor was upon them all. So we can see here, it wasn't just His favor and His grace. He qualified it by saying, great grace was upon them, and great favor was upon them all. And the Amplified, it says, and with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. I'll tell you, It's an interesting thing that happened recently. How many were here when the Durants were here? Kevin and Ann Durant. Well, when they ministered to Pastor Greg and I the last evening, I never said this, but this was an answer to prayer for me. For months, I never voiced it, but it was here. I said, Lord, I need more of your ability to do what you're calling me to do. Because what you're unfolding, what you're revealing to me in here, what you're causing me to speak to, that's bigger than I can even imagine. It's more than I can do. I need more of your grace and your ability, more of your anointing to do that. I was crying out in here for that. I never told Pastor Greg. It was personal. Because you're looking at the tasks that God is about ready to unfold and you're going, it's too big. It's bigger than you can even think. It's bigger than what you can do. And although we're not doing it in our own strength, you know in you, you said, this is bigger than I can do right now. I can't do that without his help, without his ability, without his anointing, without an increase. And so when they came and said, you need to believe for double of his grace, double of his anointing, double of his favor. And he used the word favor. And I said, I receive it. I take it. I receive it. Now, that was something that was special because he's called me and Pastor Greg and Pastor Sarah to operate in an office that requires certain abilities. And you ain't going to do it without his help. You are not going to operate in that increased capacity without his anointing, without his grace, and without his favor, because it will be an increase and you're going to sit there and go, how do I do this? What do I do? And you'll be able to see it. You'll just see it. You go, no. And you won't have to sweat it. You won't even have to, because he's thinking through you. He is the God of all grace. And so, but that does not mean that we all can't believe God for an increase of grace and favor and his ability. And we should. We should be. Now, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. I'm so grateful that when God assigns you to do something, he does what? He equips you to do it. He doesn't just leave you out there hanging, but he equips you. What does he equip you with? His ability, which is his grace and his favor and his presence and his anointing. You could say it's all the same. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, or let's look at verse 17. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace and in the what? the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now back up. I just wrote this down before I came up. Go to 2 Peter. You're in there. Back up to the first chapter and look at verse 2. What does that say? It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto who? To who? Who? You. Say, grace and peace be multiplied unto me through the knowledge of what? Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then what does it continue? We notice, according as his divine power has done what? Given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to what? Glory and virtue. Hallelujah. Well, you could say, what would his divine power be? What are we talking about tonight? Ah, there it is. What is his divine power? His grace. Glory to God. So we can grow in grace. We can, and we should. I had another scripture. I'll read it to you. You don't have to go there, or you're right there. Back over to James. James chapter 1, very familiar scripture verse. James chapter 1, and look at verse 17. What does it say? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Grace is a what? It's a gift. And so grace is a good gift. It's a perfect gift. And who does it come from? It comes from the Father of lights, and there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Now, that particular word, when you look at the word grace, primarily, if you look it up that in the New Testament, and also if you look at it in the Old Testament, primarily it means favor. That's really what it means. If you look at it, it means favor. I'm going to read what it's a charis or charis in the New Testament. This is a Greek word. So that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, goodwill, loving kindness, favor. I like this. It's the merciful kindness by which God exerting his holy influence upon souls. So you could almost say, you could also say, it's his presence. His presence is his grace. Because if he increases favor upon you, then he's increasing his presence upon you. He's increasing the anointing upon you. It's his presence, you could also say. Now let's take a look. I want to just look at a few scriptures. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Some of these might be, you might already know, but let's look at them. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. Just a few. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. And this is referring to the Lord. He said, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. Who gives grace? God does. He's the provider of grace. He's the giver of grace. Now let's jump back to 1 Peter. I want you to look at 1 Peter. We're in 2 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." He is the God of all grace. He is the God of all grace. Now back up, go to Hebrews. This is a familiar scripture, Hebrews chapter 4. You just look these scriptures up, you get blessed. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "Let us," talking to us, "let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." His throne is a throne of grace. "That we may obtain mercy and" do what? "Find grace." To do what? What is grace going to do? See, this is what I was talking about before. You're saying, "But I need help." You need grace. I need help. I need help in my home. I need help on my job. I need help in my marriage. I need help in relationships. I need help in my body. It needs healing. What are you supposed to do? Come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to do what? To help. I need help. That's what I was asking for. Lord, I need help to do these varied tasks. And it came through those individuals to lay hand and said, "Ask for double." I did. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to bumble around and bump around. I'm going to ask for help. That's what I was doing in here. Help! I need help. And he did. And so that's what we're to do. You see, sometimes here's the thing. What does Proverbs say? It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and" do what? "Lean not unto" what? See, and we bump around and wait until we just have exhausted everything because we know how to do it. I know how to do this because I've done it before. I know. And then after you've exhausted all your I knows and it don't work, then you come and say, "I need help. I need help. God, I need help." But we should have gone to begin with because we wasted a lot of time because we know, and he'll say, "No, don't do that. Go over here and do this." And you go, "No, that's how we do it." And he goes, "No, you go over this way." And that is what we to do. We're to go to find grace to help in the time of need. And that's what grace does. Grace is his favor, his ability, his anointing that helps you in a time of need. So it doesn't just apply with the increase that's coming here to the ministry, but it applies to you in your everyday life. See, we got saved by grace, but we live our whole life by grace. We're going to live this walk out by grace. How? Through faith. So we're going to have to go and seek God more for his help. I'm right there with you. I'm not trying to do this on my own. I'm going to look for help because he can make it real easy. "Come to me," he said, "my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I'm not trying to figure it out anymore. I'm going to go to him first and say, "How we do this, Daddy?" And let him unfold and reveal how we do it. Because sometimes, I will say it in the flesh, you think you just know how to do it. I've done this already. I know. And you don't know. And we're to go to the throne of grace. You're in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Hebrews 10, 29. It says, Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto who? The Spirit of grace. So he's called the Spirit of grace. Now, let's back up to Acts. Let's go. We're just highlighting some scriptures that reference grace. Acts chapter 10, or 20, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts 20 and 24. And this is how the gospel is referred to. It says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of what? The gospel of the what? The grace of God." So the gospel is referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. Now look at verse 32 in the same chapter. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the what? The word of his grace." Right. "Which is able to do what? Build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So this is referred to as the word of grace. Now, let's go forward just a few more scriptures. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 7. We were looking before at 2 Peter 3:18, where it tells us to grow in grace. Well, this is similar. It says, "Therefore, as you do what? Abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us." What does it also say? "See that ye do what? Abound in this grace also." So we're to abound in grace. We're to grow in grace. So this is something that we can grow in and abound in, and we should. Let me ask a question. How many want to grow and abound in grace? How many want to be in and walk through this Christian walk and it be easy? Or let's put it another way, easier. I want easier. I don't want harder. I want easier. We have an advantage in that the God of grace will give us more grace. But we have to ask. We have to ask. Now, let's just take a moment and let's look at this account real quickly in Genesis chapter 6. And here, you can see in this story about Noah, you can see the effect of grace. Look at verse 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let me ask a question. Did that grace have an impact on he and his family? Oh, yeah. Was saved. And you could also say today, that grace that we've received has put us in the ark of safety. So grace is protecting us. Exactly right. By grace we are saved. And so you can see here that grace afforded him some what? Protection and some favor when the world was going to be destroyed. And that's no different today, that grace is going to be extended and there are going to be people swept into hell because they refuse or turn down the grace of God. And so, we can see here just in this story how grace made a difference. And I think that grace, as we were sharing before, grace affords favor. But how many know the scripture, and there's a few scriptures that highlight this. In Romans chapter 2, verse 11, it says, God is not a respecter of persons. Well, let me ask a question. If God favors someone, does that mean he's a respecter of persons? You sure about that? Okay, that's a good answer. God is just to favor some more than others. But the scripture is very clear, and we can look at them, that God does favor some over others, but he is not a respecter of persons. A respecter, if you look that up, if I respect a person, that means that I embrace or I give them favor because of what? Who they are. That's being a respecter of a person. And I believe the scripture says there's neither bond nor free, male or female. I forget what else does it say, Jew or Greek. Now, if I come to you and I say, oh, you're a female or a male, I put you over here. Or you're this nationality or this nationality, that's being a respecter of a person. And the scripture is very clear with that. That you can be a respecter of persons because of who you are. But when God extends his favor, that is not being a respecter of persons. He is just because he appoints and selects in the body as who wills. As he sees fit, as he wills. That's not being a favorite. He chooses. He selects. He doesn't come and say, well, you're so-and-so, I select you because of who you are. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. And I believe Ephesians 6:9, it says, and ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him. That's one scripture reference. Colossians 3:11, we just read that, says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. But he that doeth wrong shall receive of the wrong which he has done, for there is no respect of persons. James 2:1. Why don't you go there? See, this gives us a scriptural account of what a respect, of courting respect to someone. James 2. And you can see here, this is what it is. James 2:1. It says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are ye become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and you are convinced of the law of transgressors." So when we accord respect to one person or another because of who they are, what they are, that is being a respecter of persons. But God can favor some more than others, and that's not being a respecter. You see, that is not being a respecter of persons. So you can be highly favored, specially favored, and that is not being a respecter. So let's take a look quickly. Let's go over to, we highlighted this scripture. Let's look at Luke 1. And it says, "And the angel came in unto her," this is Mary, "and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Was she highly favored? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Now let's go over to Luke 2. And let's look at verse 40. This is talking about Jesus. It says, "And the child did what? Grew and did what? Waxed strong what? In spirit, filled with wisdom, and the what? The grace of who? Of God was what? Upon him." Now, we know that he was the Son of God, but he didn't operate as God. He operated as a man. And here's one thing here, you can see here, if he was God, then he wouldn't have had to grow, would he? See, so you can see right here, as a man, he had to grow and increase. If he operated as God, why would God need to increase? He doesn't. See, so Jesus had to do what? He had to grow in wisdom, he had to wax strong in spirit, and he had to grow in grace. Now you're right there, look at verse 52. Same chapter. And what does it say? And Jesus increased in what? Wisdom and stature and what? In favor with who? God and man. I'll tell you, when the grace of God increases in your life, you will have favor with God and with man. We had an experience recently. We had some piece of equipment that was being repaired on the sound console. And we've had this technician in for a number of years. Excellent. I mean, he does, this particular person, I went through the factory to find a good technician. I said, well, give me a great technician. He said, all right, this guy's good. I recommend him. And this guy comes in, and he's busy all the time. He does all the top studios in New York City. He's in and out of clubs, you know, all the clubs in the city. He's just busy. And so he comes in, and he overhauls our console when we need it, and he replaces parts. And he's good. And so we had a power supply that feeds or supplies power to the board was acting up and needed to be repaired. So he's had it for about a month, and he told Dan, come and pick it up. I said, how much? Just pay me for the parts. I'll donate my services to the church. Favor. I like that. That's favor. He says, give me $20 for the parts. That's what he said. Give me $20 for the parts. Services on me. I said, I receive it. What did Pastor Judy say? Don't get spiritual. Kick the bag. I'm going to kick the bag. I'm not going to get spiritual. If they want to donate it, thank you very much. He's in and out. For me, I would like to see him saved and our lives affect him, but he lives a certain way. He's tattooed up to the hilt, earrings, smoking. I said, it don't bother me. He's good at what he does. He's great at what he does. Come on in, fix it. And our lives will have an impact on you. And so when somebody wants to extend favor, yeah, keep coming. So I thank God for the favor of God. Now, let's go over to 1 Peter for a few minutes. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, that's my mistake. I'm sorry, let's go to James chapter 4. Excuse me, James chapter 4 and verse 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6. Here's one way we grow in grace. James chapter 4 and verse 6. Says, but he does what? He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but does what? He gives grace unto who? Does he give grace unto the proud? No, he does what? He resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. I just looked that up. Proud, of course, you have ideas of what that is. It says showing oneself to be above another. Somebody who's proud. I know what to do. I can figure this out. Taking a preeminent place. Somebody who's prideful. He resists the pride, but he gives grace to the humble. The humble is someone that is lowly or of low degree. Somebody who doesn't have a high opinion of themselves. That is a lowly or a humble person. And God gives grace unto the humble. Now that doesn't mean that when the grace of God rests upon you and you know what to do, that doesn't mean at that point we can be bold. Operating in His ability and His grace. But still, when you're operating in His grace and His ability, you are not prideful. Because why? You know it's not you. You know it's not your ability. It's His ability. And you know you couldn't find your way out of the house. Some days without His ability. So when it's easy to do something, you know I couldn't. I ain't smart enough to do that. I didn't think of that. I couldn't have thought of that. It's His ability. And so the humble, even in a state where you know it's God operating through you, you can be bold, you can be assertive, but not prideful. Because you're operating in His ability. And we should grow in grace. Let's take a look at one last scripture. Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father," what? "Full of grace and truth." And I like this. Look at verse 16. It says, "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Now, when you look that up in some of the other modern translations, it means grace upon grace. It means grace layered upon another grace or an increase. That's what that means. You can look it up in some of the other translations. I believe the Good News translation says grace upon grace. I don't think it says layered grace, but it just says grace upon grace, which is an increase. But I don't know about you, but I am interested in growing in grace, growing in His ability, and I'm looking to Him for assistance and help in every area of my life, every area of walk of life, not just here in the ministry, but personally to grow in grace. There's a scripture that comes to mind. Let's look at one more scripture. Let me just find this here. I think it's 2 Corinthians. I think this is a scripture that comes to mind here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we looked at verse 7 before. But look at verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be," what? "Rich." Now let me ask a question. You think His grace can make you rich? Yes. His ability, His anointing, His favor can open doors to cause increase in your finances. Absolutely. Absolutely. So grace can afford us some ability, some favor, some anointing that will open doors to assist us and help us in this Christian walk, and especially what God is about ready to unfold here and is starting. And it's going to require an increase of His grace, an increase of His ability, His anointing, His favor in order to do it. You won't be able to do it on your own strength. It's going to have to be done with an increase of His favor and grace. How many are interested? I'll tell you, I'm interested. I want it all. I want all of His ability, all of His grace afforded that allows me to be more productive for Him. And we can have it. Amen. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for this time that we've had together. Thank You, Father, for the increase of grace in our life. Thank You for the increase of Your ability in our lives. Thank You for the increase of Your anointing in our lives so that we can be more productive, we can stretch further and do more in the kingdom of God. And we thank You for it, and we believe that we receive an abundance of grace, increase of grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.